The Titans are close to a championship foundation. Closer than you think for a team that's only won 6 total games in the last 2 seasons. We're going to break it down. What is a championship foundation and how close are the Titans? All that and more on today's Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titan Size, the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, and yes, the yada yada king, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, I had to say it today because you said yada yada, and I dinged you for it yesterday. It had been a while, but got to bring it back for today. How you doing today?
Sometimes I gotta remind you that I'm the yada yada king by actually putting it into practice. Now, I just can't live off my reputation. I gotta say it once in a while. Someone in the comments yesterday said, call him the yada yada king. And I responded with, say my name in the Walter White voice, if you will. I'm doing well. Don't think I forgot about that catchphrase either, because I left it for the end. Excited to talk about the Titans today. A new topic for us, the Tennessee Titans, and whether or not they are building a championship-caliber team. This is, if you're unaware, I'm calling it the Daniel Jeremiah exercise after his tweet from about a week ago now, went viral by saying he likes to revisit this concept. To build a championship foundation, you need these 12 spots. So today, you and I are analyzing the current Titans roster and deciding whether or not or how close they are to having these 12 championship pieces.
And I think we need to make two things clear. Number one, just because you have these pieces doesn't mean that you are winning a Super Bowl. This makes you a championship caliber, championship foundation. You need other pieces on top of it, usually maybe one or two more bonus pieces. But without these, it's very, very difficult to create or to build a contending team at all. And those pieces are a quarterback, of course. We know this. It's the most important position in sports. We just talked about this on Heed the Call. An old Vince Lombardi? Somebody. An old quote from an old coach who said that football is a beautiful game with one big flaw. The quarterback position is just too important. But it is. The quarterback position is of vital importance, obviously. Daniel Jeremiah says you need 3 offensive playmakers, 3 quality offensive linemen, 2 pass rushers, and 3 defensive playmakers. And Justin, before we get into whether or not the Titans have these pieces and which pieces they're missing still, can we assess the validity of this exercise? Let's look at it through the lens of last year's Super Bowl champion, the Seattle Seahawks. The quarterback. I mean, I would say we didn't know going into 2025 whether or not Sam Darnold could be a championship caliber quarterback. Coming off a great season in Minnesota, but that was a 1 year, go prove it again kind of thing. And he did. He went and proved it again. I mean, he played as well as they could have hoped. He didn't make the big mistakes. He did make the big plays to get them not only to the one seed in the NFC, but then through the playoffs and to winning the Super Bowl. Offensive playmakers. I would say they did have 3. I mean, Kenneth Walker was a Super Bowl MVP, for goodness sake, so there's 1. Jaxon Smith-Njigba was the offensive player of the year and led the league in receiving, so there's 2. And the third one, you can kind of piecemeal it together. It's like maybe it's not the same guy every single week, but Rashid Shaheed, who they acquired midseason, could qualify. Cooper Kupp's getting up there in age, but every once in a while he could qualify. AJ Barner at tight end made some plays down the stretch. He could qualify. Even Zach Charbonnet made some plays for them, you know, in relief of Kenneth Walker. So I think you got 2 for sure, and not just 2 for sure, but a Super Bowl MVP and an Offensive Player of the Year. So when you have those 2 guys, the third one can be sort of a combination of other players, I think. Quality offensive linemen. I would say they did have 3 quality offensive linemen, right?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, Charles Cross is a really good left tackle. Gray Zabel had a really good rookie season at left guard. I think those 2 are obvious. It's funny because the rest of the line, like their center was a sophomore UDFA, and it was a first-year starter in Jalen Sundell. And then the right guard, Anthony Bradford's been replacement level his whole career. But I would say the right tackle, you know, Abe Lucas, probably qualifies as a third quality lineman. He's always been good when healthy. He's had a lot of injury issues, but he was healthy this past year and had a good season. And then quickly rounding this out, if you don't mind, definitely 2 pass rushers. I mean, you could probably go beyond that. Leonard Williams is elite. Byron Murphy had a breakout sophomore year. You can throw up the hook 'em sign if you'd like. DeMarcus Lawrence, I thought, had a, you know, you tend to know, was Derek Hall, Boye Mafe. Like, they had so many, a rotation. I would say, like, two really good pass rushers, the rotation of a bunch of guys behind them that are, you know, mid-tier to upper quality. Three defensive playmakers, yes. You know, Devon Witherspoon. And this is outside of the pass rusher. So we're kind of looking at linebacker, secondary. Devon Witherspoon, Nick Amignori, no doubt about it. Ernest Jones had a great year for them at linebacker. Julian Love is a really good, productive safety. Kobe Bryant had a big year at safety. So they check all of these boxes, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and then if you go back one more year, the Eagles, I mean, I'm not even going to go through the exercise for the Eagles. 2024 roster was one of the best rosters, most complete teams ever assembled in NFL history, maybe. Definitely up there in the upper echelon of rosters. So they had it and more than this list. And I did want to think about the 2023 Chiefs, just because a lot of people think about that and say, well, they don't need all these pieces because they have Patrick Mahomes. I would say the Chiefs in 2023 had this foundation too, though. They had, obviously, the quarterback. Three offensive playmakers. They had Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, still towards the end of his prime. And that year, Isaiah Pacheco qualifies as an offensive playmaker. He's kind of fallen off since, been banged up, taking a lot of contact. But I'm looking to bounce back in Detroit this year. But I think he qualifies, so they had three of those. Quality offensive linemen, I mean, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith are obviously quality offensive linemen. And this year, they had Donovan Smith starting at left tackle. They had Joe Tooney at left guard still. I think they had three, if not four, quality offensive linemen. Pass rusher, it's a little iffy here, but Chris Jones and George Karloftis, I think, definitely qualify as pass rushers. And defensive playmakers, I mean, Nick Bolton, Trent McDuffie, Lajarius Sneed when he was still good, Justin Reed, Brian Cook, like, the Chiefs had this foundation. So
we're
even though they had
loose when we include guys like Brian Cook, to be honest with you, but I do think Sneed, McDuffie, and Bolton, if we cut it right there, it's like they have three defensive playmakers.
Yeah, so I think we can take this exercise back 3 years and say all three Super Bowl winners of the last, you know, the last three Super Bowl winners all had all of these pieces. So do the Titans have all these pieces? And how close are the Titans to having all these pieces? Well, if we look at the list again, quarterback is number one. And this is, you know, as much as you and I love Cam Ward and believe in his ability to become a franchise quarterback, the fact of the matter is, if you look at his statistical production from last year, you'd have to say the Titans do not have the quarterback. Now, obviously, we're not expecting rookie year Cam Ward to be who he is forever. Now that he's got better coaching, a lot better weapons around him, you hope the O-line is improved. We don't know yet. I would say the Titans feel good about their own quarterback, and therefore, they feel like they probably have a check mark on this one, but we don't know that yet for sure. So I think there's a big question mark here, whether or not the Titans have their guy. You know, we believe they do, and we can believe they do all we want, but he has to go out on the field and prove it. And until he does, this is going to be a question mark. So it's not really, there's not much use going deeper on it. The Titans might have their guy. We think they have their guy, but we don't know yet.
Obviously, the most important item on the list, right? You could have everything else, but if you don't have the quarterback, then you definitely don't have a championship caliber team. I expect Cam Ward to get there. Yeah, I'll kind of leave it at that. Like, I think a year from now, hopefully, we can revisit this list. Maybe make this a yearly exercise and say, Titans have a championship caliber quarterback in Cam Ward. That's what I'm hoping to say. But you're right. It'd be, you know, silly and premature of us to, you know, after a up and down rookie year, where again, they did him no favors with the coaching staff, the supporting cast, and he still came out the other side looking pretty good. I think Cam Ward's going to be a championship caliber quarterback 2026, you know, that sophomore leap year. A big one for a lot of quarterbacks on this list, or, you know, even ones, you know, Caleb Williams, who now Drake May, like all these guys who did it this past year. Obviously, it's a big year too for Cam Ward. I think he gets there.
And I think he's going to have that kind of Drake May, maybe not Drake May, but something along those lines. Maybe it's like Bryce Young. Like, I don't want it to be like Bryce Young, but if he has,
I hope it's like more a Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's in the middle, like a Caleb Williams. I mean, I'm hoping it's better than that, but I think at least a Caleb Williams-esque type of year. I mean, or a Josh Allen, you know, third year when it was his third year under Brian Daboll. And Josh Allen was a lot more raw as a prospect coming out than Cam Ward was, you know, playing at Wyoming, not playing at a big-time program like Miami. You know, Josh Allen never got that kind of college experience. Josh Allen also didn't get the, like, super senior year like Cam Ward did. So Cam Ward, maybe a year ahead in terms of NFL development from where Josh Allen run was. Maybe hopefully won't take as long for him to break out. Josh Allen took 3 years, right? Maybe it'll take Cam Ward two, and we'll see. Moving ahead on the list, three offensive playmakers. Now, I'll just go ahead and say that, like, a lot of these categories are going to be question marks, and we're going to discuss the players who could fit these roles. Mm-hmm. One of these categories is not a question mark. We'll get to that one. but when you talk about three offensive playmakers on this Titans roster, I mean, I hope they better, I guess, is the way best way to put it. They better have three offensive playmakers on this roster after what they added to the receiver room. Look, if Carnell Tate, plays on Sundays the way he's played in OTAs so far, it's a definite resounding yes. Now, we got to keep in mind that they're playing in a no-contact practice against mostly backups, where most of the starting defense has not been on the field for either of the open OTA sessions the media has been at. But Carnell Tate, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to do against backups. He's looking like, I'm ready for the next level of competition up, because this is too easy for me, Micah Robinson. So Carnell Tate, I think, can be. It's a rookie who's never taken a snap, so I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, they got one in Carnell Tate for sure. I'm going to say he can be. If he lives up to his draft billing and, you know, the Ohio State receiver pedigree and all that, he definitely can be, but it's a little early to say he just is.
Yeah, I'm going to say that, of course, you know, he's a rookie receiver. I hope he's going to be, and I think he can be the best playmaker on this offense, right?
But I agree.
Until he goes out and actually proves it, you know, we've got to leave him as a question mark. If you don't mind, I'll move us along to the other two on offense. I'm probably going to be a little harsher here than you are, I have a feeling. Like, I think we can count Wandell Robinson, but, you know, look, he had 1,000 yards, 90 catches in back-to-back years. But I don't really believe, like, if I were to ask you, who do you think are 90-catch, 1,000-yard receivers in the NFL, you probably wouldn't name Wandell Robinson, right? Like, not a trivia question. Like, who do you feel is that type of guy? He's probably not on most people's list, right? Like, playing from behind with the Giants a lot. The Malik Nabers injury, I think, helped him a lot. But I do think if we're, you know, we've mentioned Rashid Shaheed and A.J. Barner and Zach Charbonnet. Like, so I think he's ideally on a championship-caliber team that has three offensive playmakers. My honest evaluation is hopefully Carnell Tate is number one in that pecking order. I don't think the Titans have number two yet. And I think Robinson ideally is like your third best option on a championship caliber team that has three legitimate offensive playmakers. That number two that I'm leaving vacant is hopefully the long-term running back that they have to solve after this season. That's how I feel about this category.
I think going into this season, Tony Pollard qualifies. I mean, I think we're disrespecting Tony Pollard to say he doesn't qualify. If you put last year's version of Tony Pollard on the Seahawks, could he have had, with the same usage and everything, could he have had the same year that Kenneth Walker had? I mean, Tony Pollard's one of two guys with four straight 1,000-yard seasons. I think he's being disrespected a little too much. I think the blocking did him no favors last year. If you look at his advanced metrics, like, he actually was a little bit better than, like, rush yards over expected and all those things, like, a little bit better than people think maybe that he is right now at this stage of his career. You've been seeing, like, running back lists floated around the league, and it's like they have Tony Pollard as, like, the 22nd best running back in the league. And I'm like, we're projecting a lot for some of these younger guys to take a big step forward and become better than Tony Pollard. They haven't proven that they're better than... I think Tony Pollard's better than people think. I do think both Tony Pollard and Wandale Robinson are closer to, like, your third playmaker than your second playmaker.
Exactly.
So I agree with you on that front. I think that there are other potential guys who could be that playmaker. They have to prove it this year, though, and that would be, like, a Gunnar Helm. If Gunnar Helm takes a step forward and he's better than he was last year, could he be a playmaker on par with, like... You know, not on par with Travis Kelce. Like,
AJ Barner, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, again, you've got to have other options, right? Like, we talked about AJ Barner and Zach Charbonnet. And like, we named four guys on the Seahawks that could have been the number three. I think with the Titans, we're probably going to get a little too projective. Well, it's like, well, maybe Gunnar Hill, maybe Shimmer ADK. It's like, well, not on championship caliber team, probably.
That's what we're going to find out, I think, in the 2026 season is, like, would Gunnar Helm qualify as a third playmaker in this exercise? Can Chimere Dike or Alec Iamanner establish themselves as, like, a third playmaker? Can Tajay Spears, like, stay healthy enough to be a third playmaker? Can Nick Singleton emerge over the, like, maybe the back half of the season as, like, oh, wow, there's a third playmaker hiding in plain sight right here? Or Daniel Bellinger, who's, like, you know, said his offseason focus this year is working on yards after catch. Like, I don't know, you know, go into a new team. Could any of these guys step up and be that guy? That's the thing when we talk about how close the Titans are, is that, like, as fans, in addition to being analysts who cover this team, like, I want to say, yeah, they have these guys. They have it. They have Carnell Tate. He's going to go prove himself to be a playmaker. They have Gunnar Helm, Hookem, another Hookem. He's going to go prove himself to be a playmaker. And they have Wandale Robinson, who we know is a playmaker. And they have Pollard and Spears and Chim Dike and Calvin Ridley. We haven't even mentioned, like, 4 years ago, Calvin Ridley would obviously be in this list. Now, it's not 4 years ago, so we can't just put him in there. But I think, like, Justin, for us, for our sake, we, at least for me, I don't know, you seem to be doing it. For me, I need to separate, like, the fan hopefulness that these guys break out. Mm-hmm. From the analyst reality that it's like they haven't proven anything yet, and to count them as, like, bona fide offensive playmakers is premature, and we got to see it this season. Again, I hope and think we will, but we haven't yet, so we still got to see it this season. Let's take a break, and when we come back, you will respond to that comment because it looked like you had something else to say. Be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, Justin. What do you think? What are you thinking? What were you about to say?
No, I'll leave it as, like, I think realistically, like you said, being fair, I think Tate can be one or two, hopefully, on this list. I think Robinson can be three. And we've seen enough of Robinson in Brian Daboll's offense to say he's a true number three. And I think they're probably don't have the third guy on this team yet. I don't know that any of those other guys are going to be good enough. You know, a Gunnar Helm and Alec Iomann or Tony Pollard's in his last year here. I don't think any of those guys are fairly fit this criteria. Maybe one of them take a huge step, but I'll say this. For them to fit this criteria, Iomann or DK Helm, it would probably require a bigger jump than I'm expecting, in all honesty. I'm going to move us along to offensive linemen, and this might be our shortest conversation of all.
I don't know, actually.
No, they don't have three quality offensive linemen. I think we talked about, like, really good lines. The Chiefs and Eagles were elite on the offensive line. The Seahawks were pretty good this past year. The Titans have Peter Skoronski is the only no-brainer on this list. I think J.C. Latham can get there. I don't think J.C. Latham's sophomore year was quite good enough to qualify for this. He was also hurt and missed games. I think J.C. Latham at his best is a top three quality O-lineman. But I just want to see him consistently be healthy this year and achieve his best to say for sure that he is. That third spot, I mean, you're kidding yourself. Like, Dan Moore is never going to get there. We know what Dan Moore is already. He's not going to be good.
Can I ask you something? Can I stop you there and ask you something?
Sure.
Is Abe Lucas, like, notably better than Dan Moore?
I think when Abe Lucas is healthy, he is, yes. I think this past year, I think Abe Lucas was way better this past year than Dan Moore was. In fact, I'd love to, like, I'm going to pull out my phone if you don't mind. I know we don't say PFF is the end-all, be-all, But how many pressures? Just pressures alone, okay? How many pressures did they have Dan Moore giving up this past year? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. While you look it up, I'll talk about this because I have a lot of thoughts here. First of all, the Titans offensive line ecosystem last year was terrible, and we know that. Like, we know they were not getting good coaching, and I don't care about who Bill Callahan is or what he's done. Like, here in Tennessee, he was not delivering good coaching. So let's see it with, you know, a better offensive line coach, somebody who's gone into two struggling units over the last, like, 5 years and turned them both around into good units. And then, like, I think when you talk about, do they have three quality offensive linemen? You said, like, no, they don't. I think this is another one where it's like, maybe they do. We got to see it. We got to find out this year if they do or not. I mean, we know Skoronski qualifies for sure. You talked about J.C. Latham. J.C. Latham absolutely could qualify for this by the end of this season with a new coaching staff and a new offense, another year of continuity and consistency in his offseason approach, not switching from right tackle to left tackle and then from left tackle to right. Like, think about his first two NFL offseasons. They were both focused on switching sides from what he had previously played the year before. So now he gets to, like, just stay at right tackle, learn a new offense, and, like, work on his technique and everything on that right side. I think that's huge for him. I think he could take a big step forward. We mentioned him yesterday as being a player who's on thin ice, but at the same time, like, he's also a potential breakout player on this offensive line. Seventh overall pick for a reason. He's got the athletic traits. He just has to put it all together for 17 games and not, you know, for four games at a time and then struggle. Like, he's got to put it all together. And I agree, like, being healthy is going to help. There's a lot of things that are going to help. And I think by the end of the season, we could be, like, laughing at how much we questioned whether or not J.C. Latham could be a part of this list.
Yeah, I'm just like I said, Skoronski for sure. I think Latham could get there, but he has to prove it. By the way, Abe Lucas gave up 16 fewer pressures and 4 fewer sacks than Dan Moore did last year, according to PFF. I think that's notable. I'm confident saying Dan Moore, we know who that's Dan fine. Moore is. I don't we think, don't, yeah, he's...
Yeah, we don't need to talk about Dan Moore. If Dan Moore's, I was just wondering, like, because we did kind of struggle for a second to say that Seattle had three quality offensive linemen, but if you're pretty confident Abe Lucas is better, I will say that the third potential on the Titans offense is... Now, stop me if I'm getting ahead of my skis a little bit, Justin. Jackson Slater. I mean, Jackson Slater was like the fifth highest graded guard in all of PFF for last season. Now, that's a ridiculous thing to say or cite because he only played like, I don't know, 18 snaps or something in week 18. But against backups.
Wasn't Garen Dellinger for the Titans like number 15 on that same list?
Yes. But hey, Jackson Slater, like, we liked him coming out. There were a lot of people who said this guy's going to be a starting quality guard in this league, if not a center. You were on the center train for a while. It looks like the Titans are going to stick with him at guard. I think he's going to win the right guard job. And I think that now it's a question mark. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, Jackson Slater is going to be a quality offensive lineman, but he could be. We don't know that he's not. So for you to say, like, no, they don't have this, like, we don't think they have this right now, but talk to me in November, because I think there's a chance that in November we're like, wow, the Titans do have three quality offensive linemen. And I also think there's a chance that next offseason they draft a left tackle like number 7 overall. But I think that those are almost equally likely at this point. And if we're talking about them being close to having the championship foundation, maybe they're one or two offensive line pieces away. I would say probably one away, but maybe they have it. Maybe they have it. And these guys have a chance to prove themselves.
I won't push back too hard on you because I do think it's possible this time next year. We're saying, hey, they actually do. You know, J.C. Latham got there and Jackson Slater, you know, had a really good year and he looks like a future stud at right guard. So I guess it's possible. But obviously there's some projection with Latham and there's a ton of projection with Slater who might lose a position battle to Cordell Volson, right? So it's like... way too early on Slater. There's a pathway there. And hopefully a couple of years from now, maybe Pat Coogan is in this conversation or you know, Fernando Carmona. But moving along to the pass rushing part of this exercise, maybe I lied. Maybe this will be our shortest because
absolutely.
Jeffrey Simmons, bona fide green check mark. And I think a lot of these teams, it's funny, like a lot of the teams who check this box, you expect them to be edge rushers. I think the Titans check this box, even though it's probably with two interior guys, because I think Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers both qualify. And then there's not, you know, I don't even want to project enough to say that there might be a third guy. Because, you know, Femi Oladejo, Jermaine Johnson, such massive, massive question marks who did next to nothing last year. But Jeffrey Simmons, John Franklin Myers, two pass rushers, check, check.
Yeah, I mean, you look at last year's Seahawks team, like you mentioned, Byron Murphy. He's definitely an interior rusher that qualifies. The Chiefs with Chris Jones, interior rusher that qualifies. The Eagles with Jalen Carter and, you know, Jordan Davis too, although he's more of an early down guy. But still, they got two guys, I think, on the inside.
I don't think the Titans, when they won the Super Bowl, though, right?
Yeah, like they had edges too. And I think all those teams had edge. I mean, the Seahawks had a litany of them. You ran through them earlier. The Chiefs, like, George Karloftis is okay. I mean, he's not like a premier super edge rusher in this league. But when he's rushing next to Chris Jones, he can qualify. And when the guys on the Titans are rushing next to Jeffrey Simmons, we hope that they qualify. But I don't think that's a bad thing for both of the Titans pass rushers who check this box to be interior guys. I mean, John Franklin Myers and Jeffrey Simmons are each top five in interior pressures, interior pressure rate, pass rush win rate for defensive tackles. Like, they blow out every other, all these statistics. They're both in the top, near the top of the league at. And to have both of them, and you can only double team one of them, I mean, that's going to create a lot of havoc, and it's going to create a lot of one-on-ones on the edges, which, you know, hopefully allows players who may not be quite as good to produce like they are quite as good because they have such help from the interior. I think pass rusher is like the one category, if we're looking at this tweet, that we can say they got it. They got two pass rushers. I feel good about that. Moving on to defensive playmakers, the last category here. To me, this is the biggest question mark. This is the biggest, like, yes, shrugging my shoulders with a question mark at the end of it, out of the whole thing, because it's like, you tell me, Justin, of this group that I'm about to name, can three guys who are not Jeffrey Simmons or John Franklin Myers emerge as a defensive playmaker? Jermaine Johnson, Cedric Gray, Anthony Hill, Cordell Flott, Alante Taylor, Amani Hooker, like, Femi Oladejo, I don't know. Can one of those, Jacob Martin, I don't know. Can one of those six, I mean, or seven, relax, or eight guys, Marcus Harris, Kevin Winston Jr., third round pick, like, can one of those nine guys emerge? Can three, excuse me, of those nine guys emerge as defensive playmakers? Like, I think Amani Hooker, you know, he's not been the best version of himself the past year or two. Can he get back to being like a true playmaker? Can Kevin Winston Jr. grow into a playmaker? Cedric Gray, I think last year Cedric Gray was a playmaker, and he could be a defensive playmaker on another level this year. Can Anthony Hill Jr., can that draft pick be a hit? Can Jermaine Johnson get back to his pre-Achilles tear form? Can Keldrick Falk be anything? Can Femi Oladejo be anything? Like, the corners, they paid these corners a lot of money. Cordell Flott's only, what, 24, 25 years old? Like, Alante Taylor's been a pretty good player in this league for a long time. If he's not a great player, he's at least a pretty good player. But we got it. Before I say any of those guys are defensive playmakers, I got to see them do it on this defense, on the Titans defense. This isn't the Giants. This isn't the Saints. This isn't college. You got to come do it on this defense as part of this unit under Robert Saleh. So I can't say that I think anybody is a defensive playmaker right now, but I can say that I think they have nine guys who they only need three of them to take a step forward and become this for them to have a check mark on this category.
That's fair, because I'm going to be totally honest, since you're like, you shrug your shoulders and I'm like, right now, the answer might be zero, like, in terms of, like, surefire guy. Like, I think Amani Hooker, who I believe was really good 2 years ago and 3 years ago, if Amani Hooker gets back to his best, I think he's the easiest pick in this category, to be honest with you. I think Kevin Winston Jr. can get there. He's got to be healthy and consistent. Like, I really like Kevin Winston Jr. and hope he gets there. Cedric Gray, I'm like, I don't want to say I'm on the fence on, because I thought he had a great year. But I also thought he was like a really good tackler. And I think I want to see him make more
in the NFL in tackles.
But I almost want to see him make more impact plays, like more forced fumbles, more plays in coverage. Like, that's what I mean to say he's a true. There are a lot of linebackers that rack up tackles that I don't think qualify for this list. I'm trying to be harsh. Like, we're talking championship caliber here. So I think Cedric Gray could be more of a playmaker than just a tackler.
Fourth in the NFL in tackles and only played 16 games. And I'm with you. I agree, Cedric Gray, like, he was a good run-stopping linebacker last year. Now he needs to develop into a complete linebacker. And it's interesting because that's exactly what he talked about last Friday when he spoke to the media, how he's working on being better in coverage, his movements, his reading, reactability. And I do think that an underrated part of this side of the conversation is that Robert Saleh has done this for players at all positions of a defense multiple times. You can like pick out random guys who were undrafted or castaways from old teams that Robert Saleh got his hands on with his staff, a lot of which have worked with him. A lot of the Titans staff were Robert Saleh staff in New York, in San Francisco, in Seattle, or Jacksonville, wherever. They've all worked together many times. And he's taken these guys and turned them into defensive playmakers. So that's, I think, if you want to be hopeful about it, unlike offensive playmaker, I mean, Brian Daboll's kind of done the same thing. Maybe there's reasons for hope on both sides of the ball, Justin. But I think when we talk about how four out of these five categories are massive question marks, that this one gives me the most hope that it will be a yes by the end of the season, but it's also the one that I'm the least certain saying they even have won.
Yeah, is that fair? I think that's probably what I was trying to get at. I said the number could be zero, in all honesty, but it's going to take some combination of everyone, you know, Amani Hooker, Kevin Winston, the cornerbacks they signed, Anthony Hill, Cedric Gray taking that next step. There's a lot, like most of the team, listen, they're in the early stages of trying to build a contender. So when you're in the early stages of doing that, you hope you're building a championship caliber team, but it's too early for us to know if they're actually doing it or not, right? Like the results on the field will dictate it. I think we're going to take one final break, and then we can get to our final segment where we talk about the holes and where we'd like to see them fill, you know, before we could actually say, hey, they are building a championship caliber team, right after this break.
Welcome back, everyone. All right, let's get back into this thing, Justin. So we're talking about how the Titans do still have some holes, but I think something that maybe gives me even more confidence that the Titans can be better than people think. Again, this is a team that has won 6 games in the last 2 years. That is coming from a bad place. I don't think anyone's expecting them to pull a New England and run to the Super Bowl this year. Like, they are building a foundation. And I think that needs to be made clear here so we don't get people's expectations riled up too high. But I also was encouraged when we looked at the teams that we just talked about, you know, that won the last 3 Super Bowls, especially the Seahawks. Because you told me, you know, you write, I don't know if our audience knows this, you write for this, like, you cover the Seahawks as, you know, part of your NFL gigs. So one of the things that you do is you know the Seahawks roster pretty well. And their offensive line, I mean, having a right guard that they're trying every year to replace in Anthony Bradford, having a center that was a second-year undrafted free agent, I mean, that sounds kind of like what the Titans have right now. Right? Like question marks at right guard and center, a pretty good left guard that we're really happy with, a left tackle. I mean, I guess the Seahawks have like a good left tackle and yes. The Titans have like a league average you can get away with left tackle. But the Titans might have a better right tackle if J.C. Latham in his third year can take a real step forward and like blossom into a great player. He's got to do that. He hasn't done it. But the fact that like the Seahawks went, it wasn't like the Seahawks, oh, we're a pretty good team last year with that offensive line. No, the Seahawks were the best team in the league. They won the Super Bowl in 14 games in the regular season. Like, with that offensive line, I mean, they have, obviously, Jackson Smith and Jigba has a huge part of that, but you hope that, like, a combination of Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson and Calvin Ridley and all those guys can give you what JSN gave you, because it's not like the Seahawks wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. I mean, Rashid Shaheed was a up-and-down, like, boom-or-bust kind of player on a week-to-week basis. Cooper Kupp's body is breaking down. He still made plays here and there. But I think it, like, gives you hope that the Titans are closer than you think, like I said at the top of the show.
I think where I'm at with this to feel comfortable on offense specifically is one more playmaker. I'm going to stick to that. Like I said, I think Carnell Tate will be number one. I think Wandale Robinson is an aft number three. He's a good number three. I want to see that number two spot, the number two playmaker on an offense filled. I don't think they have him yet. I think they're probably, maybe they draft that guy next year. Maybe it's a running back. I think someone in our comments said, and it's probably true, they're like, the Titans' best running back for the future isn't on the roster yet. He's still in college. I think that that's probably the case. So that
he's on the Arizona Cardinals now, Justin. Gosh,
Jeremiah Love. Never let go of the hope. I think they're a playmaker away on offense, and I think they're probably a lineman away. I think if we, you know, we're realistic and it's like best case scenario doesn't always come true, we're looking at the best case scenario being, oh, J.C. Latham and Jackson Slater both established themselves. I think they're probably one lineman away, and it's probably going to be the left tackle they draft in the first round next year.
Yeah, I mean, that could totally be the case. I think I don't want to see them draft another lineman in the first round, but I do want them to have that position solidified. It's like the most important position group on the offense. If that's good, everything else can be average or even a little below, and everything can look better because of the offensive line. I mean, again, there's a chance they get there. Realistically, they are probably an offseason of acquisitions away. They probably need to add an offensive playmaker. They probably need to add an offensive lineman. And we'll see what happens on defense. Like, I have the most faith, like blind optimism, hope, faith, confidence in the defense figuring it out because of who's coaching that side of the ball and the track record of success that Robert Saleh has as a defensive play caller and defensive coordinator and defensive minded head coach on that side of the ball. And I want to don't twist that and think I'm saying that the Jets were successful under Robert Saleh. They did have 2 7 win seasons, which again is more than the Titans have won in the last 2 years combined. So like success is different for different people from where it's success is relative, what I'm trying to say. But as far as the defense goes, like Robert Saleh has always coached guys up into defensive playmakers. So like that gives me a lot of faith that they are closer than we think. And if Brian Daboll can do the same thing for the offensive side of the ball, then you're cooking. Then you're really cooking with something. And if Cam Ward has a Drake May level ascension this season, the Titans are competing for a playoff spot. Like that's where they're at. If that comes to fruition, if Cam Ward has like a Marcus Mariota sophomore season, I will feel supremely confident about his future. But you know, like what did Mariota have? 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions that something second like year, that. Like 3,800.
Super hot without the injury at the end, obviously.
Right, like show that growth that you have taken a step really, and if he plays 2026, like he played the post bye weeks of 2025, then that will come to fruition. And you add the playmakers, you hope that Carmen Brasillo can get the most out of this offensive line. I think they are closer than you think, but I do think it's going to be another offseason of like adding a quality O lineman, adding a playmaker, maybe adding another defensive playmaker. Maybe it's an edge rusher. Maybe it's, you know, a safety. Like the safeties are like Amani Hooker's getting up there in age. Tony Adams isn't like necessarily. He's not a playmaker. He's a solid, fine safety. And we'll see Anthony Hill's development, you know, Cedric Gray's development. Do they need to add corners? Can Marcus Harris lock down the slot? Like there's, a ton of question marks. And I think I'll close this out by saying that while they do still have a few holes, every team has holes, right? It's not about being a complete roster like the 2024 Eagles. It's about having this foundation that allows you to overcome some of the holes you may have. Again, like you don't need 5 quality offensive linemen if you have 3. You don't need every receiver that's running a route to be a quality playmaker if you have 3 out there on the offense. You don't need every defensive player to be like making plays on a snap-to-snap basis. You just need guys who won't get you killed and then surround them with guys who will make big-time plays. And I think we can't underrate what it's going to do having 2 quality pass rushers on the interior, how that could unlock the whole defense, make it easier on the cornerbacks. I think the Titans are going to see a lot of quick game stuff this year because opposing offenses aren't going to want to get blown up the middle of the offensive line by Simmons and John Franklin Myers. And so you're going to see a lot of quick game. You're going to need sure tackling on the edges by those cornerbacks. You're going to need guys breaking downhill on the ball. You know, they've been talking about, I think Cedric Gray also talked about how this defense is a lot more read and react to what's happening in front of you versus like man match stuff. So that means that you're going to have to be on your cues and you're going to have to be breaking downhill and like tackling, wrapping up because this defense is going to allow 4-yard catches. Now you got to make sure that guy doesn't break a tackle and take that into turn it into a 15-yard gain, right? That's what it's going to be all about this season. So there you go. Titans close, but they don't quite have a championship caliber foundation. And like, we could come out of 2026 saying they're not close at all. Like if some of these players that we're hoping establish themselves go the other way, like anything can happen in the NFL. You never know.
There are so many questions, right? Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, Anthony Hill, Keldrick Falk, who we didn't even mention, Femi Oladejo, Cedric Gray, Kevin Winston, like Jackson Slater. These guys, their development this year will ultimately kind of decide whether they're close or not. So Titans might be closer than you think, but I think they're still a young, ascending, rebuilding team when it comes to establishing a championship foundation. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Graver and I are thinking about, probably talking about the Tennessee Titans. We'll figure it out. But that's more than likely how we are leaning. Until then, and remember, we'll be live Friday, 10:30 a.m. Central, 11:30 Eastern for your regular Friday hangout sesh. Until Thursday, until Friday, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.